persons are professional plunderers who set fire to others' houses or administer poison to them. Also, members of the royalty or government officials sometimes plunder mercantile men by forcing them to pay income tax and by other methods. After death, such demons are put into the hell known as Sarameyadana. On that planet, there are 720 dogs with teeth as strong as thunderbolts. Under the orders of the agents of Yamaraj, these dogs voraciously devour such sinful people. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that in this age of Kali, everyone will be extremely disturbed by three kinds of tribulations: scarcity of rain, famine, and heavy taxation by the government. Because human beings are becoming more and more sinful, there will be a scarcity of rain, and naturally, no food grains will be produced. On the plea of relieving the suffering caused by the ensuing famine, the government will impose heavy taxes, especially on the wealthy mercantile community. In this verse, the members of such a government are described as dasyu, thieves. Their main activity will be to plunder the wealth of the people. Whether a highway robber or a government thief, such a man will be punished in his next life by being thrown into the hell known as Sarameyadana, where he will suffer greatly from the bites of ferocious dogs. So I'll read again the translation. In this world, some people are professional plunderers who set fire to others' houses or administer poison to them. Also, members of the royalty or government officials sometimes plunder mercantile men by forcing them to pay income tax and by other methods. After death, such demons are put into the hell known as Sarameyadana. On that planet, there are 720 dogs with teeth as strong as thunderbolts. Under the orders of the agents of Yamaraj, these dogs voraciously devour such sinful people. So here, the two kinds of thieves are mentioned. One is private enterprise, and the other is government authorized thieves. So actually we see in Kali Yuga that both kinds increase. So it's, of course, government has the right to levy taxation on the people. But if they don't return benefits to the people from the taxation, and instead simply grow, the government officials grow wealthy by it, then they're also dasyu, they're also thieves. So there's so much protest against heavy taxation because people don't receive anything in return or don't receive sufficient things in return. If you got your value's worth for your money, no one would object. but so many people are in the way to plunder this wealth that's collected by taxation. So therefore, there's always some difficulty or some protest. People's money is being wasted and they're not getting what they wanted. People enriching themselves at public expense. So this goes on. So it will get worse. Human beings, Prabhupada says here, are becoming more and more sinful. So that's the natural course of Kali Yuga. I've seen in my own lifetime, it's not very long, such a huge decline in morals, in what is permitted, what is thought to be right. All these things have changed drastically in a very short time. So this is the effects of Kali Yuga. So he mentions here the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So here you see a prediction of what Kali Yuga is going to be like. There's a chapter, The Symptoms of Kali Yuga. And it's right on. It's accurate, deadly accurate. This was, of course, written about 5,000 years ago. So, because Vyasadeva could see past, present, and future, so he could tell what it was going to be like. But it's interesting that academic scholars like to give a date for the composition of Srimad Bhagavatam about 10th century A.D. The reason they give this date, by the way, is that Ramanuja never cites Srimad Bhagavatam. In all his writings, he makes no reference to Srimad Bhagavatam. Neither did he write a commentary on it. So therefore, they claim that he didn't know about it. And they make the further claim, if he didn't know about it, it didn't exist. So therefore, they date it after Ramanuja. This is the reasoning. Notice there are two assumptions. One, if he didn't mention it, he didn't know about it. And two, if he didn't know about it, he didn't exist. I won't get into it here, but both of those are questionable assumptions. So anyway, but even if you say it was composed in the 10th century, still, at that time, you know, so many of these symptoms weren't present at that time. Yet. So even then it would require some great it would require a very good intuitions to be able to predict that this is the way, you know, a few centuries later things would be. In other words, what I'm trying to say is people will sometimes say that, oh, this is people who wrote this were just describing the way things really were. There's nothing extraordinary in these predictions. That's just the way things were. But they even weren't like this in the 10th century, what to speak of 5,000 years ago. Anyway, Shukadeva Goswami said that in the Kali Yuga, religion, truthfulness, cleanliness, tolerance, mercy, duration of life, physical strength, and memory will all diminish day by day because of the powerful influence of the age of Kali. So he says here, day by day, and that we see actually day by day. On my recent trip in, while I was in Lansing, I saw with some devotees about an hour and a half video presented by a neuropsychiatrist from Case Western Reserve University about marijuana, which he considers to be one of the most dangerous drugs. Usually, of course, it's an intoxicant. They're all bad from our point of view. But usually it's considered the most harmless of drugs to take. And its widespread use is there in the United States because it's very widely considered harmless. This doctor presents a wealth of evidence, experimental evidence, that it is very harmful. Because the molecules, the cannabinoid molecules, are fat-soluble. That is, they're absorbed by fats or lipids in the body. And when you smoke something like that, it goes where there's the most biological activity going on. So the most active place where there are fats is in nerve cells. Nerve cells have a membrane, cell membrane, which is mostly made of lipids or fats. And for nerve cells to work, ions have to pass back and forth between the cell membrane because electric currents run down those cell membranes which make neurons work, nerve cells work. So what happens is these molecules from marijuana get absorbed in that cell membrane and it stops it from working. But the scary part is they stay there for a very long time. If a person just smokes one joint a day, he'll perpetually have his system will never get cleared of these things. And if a person has been a heavy smoker for a long time, it'll take 3-4 years before those things begin to leave his system and to disappear. So among the disruptions caused by marijuana is loss of memory. As everybody knows who's ever had any experience. Well, this happens because it destroys or at least incapacitates brain cells. Not only memory, but also the ability to plan for the future. This is what is known as being stoned. And his biggest fear is that young people whose brains are still developing are taking marijuana a lot. And he's afraid that in those cases, they'll be permanently impaired in these functions. So people are taking so many things to just make physiologically these functions not take place, such as memory, duration of life, physical strength, all these things, just by the increased use of intoxicants. And you'll see that although everyone knows now that intoxicants are bad for you, that even alcohol, everyone knows what it does. There's so many things about how many deaths, automobile accidents and murders, how many alcohol are involved in, what it does to your body, what happens to fetuses if their mother just takes one drink at the wrong time, how it can cause permanent damage. All these babies born with fetal alcohol syndrome, they call it, you know, stuff like that. But you'll notice, although there's warning labels on cigarettes, there's no warning label on a bottle of whiskey. And if that bottle of whiskey, if you sit there, you just get a fifth of whiskey, whatever it is, and you sit down in one sitting, you drink it all, you'll die. But there's no warning label. Why is that? It's that way because people need it. It's why the fact that these facts are known about marijuana. Why is that? Not because people need it. Why do they need it? Because life is getting increasingly hellish. And they can't go through material life without intoxication. So that's one sign how these things are happening. That here we live in the age of medical advancement and higher and higher level of material prosperity, and yet you look and see how will these things happen, that duration of life, physical strength, memory, all these things will be reduced. Well, here it is. You can see. Let's go on. In Kali Yuga, wealth alone will be considered the sign of a man's good birth. Right. Proper behavior and fine qualities. And law and justice will be applied only on the basis of one's power. I mean, you don't have to comment on this stuff. You know, men and women will live together merely because of superficial attraction, and success in business will depend on deceit. Womanliness and manliness will be judged according to one's expertise in sex. And a man will be known as a brahmana just by his wearing a thread. A person's spiritual position will be ascertained merely according to external symbols. And on that same basis, people will change from one spiritual order to another. A person's propriety will be seriously questioned if he does not earn a good living. And one who is clever at juggling words will be considered a learned scholar. Right. This is the next verse is nice. A person will be judged unholy if he does not have money, and hypocrisy will be accepted as virtue. Now here it says, actually the Sanskrit, anadyata eva asadutve. So unholy is asadutva. That is not having the virtues of a sadhu. So if there is no money, then you're not a sadhu. You have no sanctity, holiness. And sadhutva, virtue, holiness, dhamma eva. Eva to Dumba is bluffing. Dumba is a self-righteous hypocrite, a bluffer. You know, so anyone who can bluff, then he's holy. Hypocrisy. He goes on, marriage will be arranged simply by verbal agreement. In other words, no ceremony. No marriage license, just make arrangement, you know. And a person will think he is fit to appear in public if he has merely taken a bath. Usually that part's left out too, huh? A sacred place will be taken to consist of no more than a reservoir of water located at a distance, and beauty will be thought to depend on one's hairstyle. Lavanyam Kesha Dharanam. Prabhupada quoted this, you know, when everybody was wearing really long hair. You know. Filling the belly will become the goal of life. And one who is audacious, that is to say bold, will be accepted as truthful. In other words, a bold liar. This is the technique of the big lie. In other words, you tell such a big lie that no one can believe you would be lying. He who can maintain a family will be regarded as an expert man. In other words, just maintaining a family will be considered to be, you know, the greatest expertise. It'll be so hard. And the principles of religion will be observed only for the sake of reputation. Now we get into the more political predictions. As the earth becomes crowded with a corrupt population, whoever among any of the social classes shows himself to be strongest will gain political power. It says here he will become Nripa, the king. Losing their wives and properties to such avaricious and merciless rulers who will behave no better than ordinary thieves, same word, thus you, the citizens will flee to the mountains and forests. They'll have to go into exile to get away. So, harassed by famine and excessive taxes, people will resort to eating leaves, roots, flesh, wild honey, fruits, flowers, and seeds. Struck by drought, they will become completely ruined. In other words, agricultural production will stop. Because on the one hand, it won't be worth the while to work. You can't make any money. And you make any money, the government will take it. So it won't be worthwhile to work at producing. So you're just going to go to the forest and just scrounge. What you can find, leaves, fruits, you know, anything that's just grows of its own. Like Aborigines, sometimes they don't have settled agriculture, but they just move through the forest and they eat beetles and grubs and, you know, whatever they can find, and roots and berries, and once in a while they kill a mouse or something. Because they have no agriculture. The citizens will suffer greatly from cold, wind, heat, rain, and snow. They will be further tormented by quarrels, hunger, thirst, disease, and severe anxiety. The maximum duration of life for human beings in Kali Yuga will become 50 years. Anyway, then it goes on. That's basically the condition. Then it goes on to tell about what it was like at the very end when Kalki comes. But this we can see. Actually, you can see almost how it's like. One characteristic that we see in the 20th century is huge refugee populations. You know, uprooted people. They have no place to, they can't stay anymore where they're living because economic conditions are so bad. Or the government has forced them to leave, like in Cambodia. They just forced everybody out into the countryside and killed 1 million people in the process. You know, you can go into Cambodia, stacks of skulls. No, the government did that. So everywhere you see these refugee populations are there, herded into various kinds of camps, because they have no homes anymore. They can't stay there. Concentration camps, death camps, different kinds of camps. So that's just one step, you know, beyond it. And the same like the forest. And people just have to leave and go. So more and more this will happen. So on the one side, you see, there'll be inadequate rainfall and therefore drought and therefore famine. People will be starving. And what can they do about that? You see, you have rocket ships, you have technology. Well, how are you going to make it rain? In fact, of course, there's a book just out now saying, you know, that called The End of Nature, that there's no such thing as a nature set apart from human interference anymore. There used to be this idea, there's the human sphere and out there, then there's nature. But that human beings have so messed things up anymore, that what you get in the form of nature is already so affected by human beings. He's specifically talking about how the weather has been affected by the ozone layer being depleted, acid rain, the greenhouse effect, and all these things like that. And this won't be able to be changed, even if you can change very quickly. I mean, even if you can stop producing all these pollutants right away, it'll still take 50 years for things to start to go back to normal. It will take a long time. And people don't have the political ability to stop the pollution of the earth. It's clear enough it won't stop because some countries like the United States or Northern Europe that are already been heavily industrialized, they can stop this kind of thing. But none of these countries that are still industrializing are going to stop now. China will not stop polluting. India will not stop polluting. If you say, for example, we have the experience of going to India. And there you experience air pollution like nothing you'll ever run across in the United States because it's totally unregulated. You know, the industrial suburbs of Delhi, I've never seen anything like it. Or the garbage, the toxic waste dumps in Calcutta with people living in the middle scrounging, you know. I mean, the most evil-looking places I've seen on this planet is like this, the suburbs of Delhi, you know. You've got this, you know, factory smokestack pouring out this yellow gunk that's hanging in the air and everybody's living and it's like so incredible the amount of pollution. And they're not going to stop. And how can countries like the United States and Europe that have now become so wealthy say to everybody else, now you have to stop? Just like everybody's upset with Brazil because they're tearing down the Amazon forest. Stop, you got to preserve the forest. You know, the United States got rich by tearing down its forests. Now, when Brazil's going to do it, everybody, wait a minute, save the rainforest. But also pay back your loans. So it won't get better. I don't think so. So you'll see this drought and therefore famine. People will be hungry. That's on the one side. And on the other side, the government will be taking more and more and more. Prabhupada says here, on the plea of relief work, they'll be taking more and more. But the government officials, they're no better than thieves. You can see right now what politics is becoming like in this country. Who's going to run for office anymore who's a decent person? You know, nobody wants to. You have no private life. Reporters are going through your garbage. Everything you do, you know, is on the front cover of Newsweek magazine. The campaigns are becoming more and more vicious. And nobody's going to, no decent person. It's just going to be, as I said, anyone who can grab the power. They have no sense of obligation. It's our chance to get rich. While we're here, we've got the power, let's get rich. So on the plea of all this collecting for relief work, they take it themselves. They keep it. And they keep raising taxes because it's such a rake-off, you know. They take so much commission, they take so much for expenses, they take so much for this. And you've seen this already in government programs everywhere, that you look at what happened to this current scandal with a housing and urban development department under Ronald Reagan, where all this money was allocated to build houses for the poor, and people were giving contracts to build it to all their friends, so all the contractors were getting rich. Very few of it was actually being, anything was getting any housing for the poor. So these are the kinds of things that go on. So this is what will happen in Kali Yuga, because people are becoming more and more sinful. And so they'll all pile up down here with a place with their 720 dogs with Vrajra Jamstra, teeth like thunderbolts. That's where they're going to go. So fortunately, all we can say is that this Kali Yuga will be briefly interrupted by Lord Chaitanya's movement. That's the only countervailing trend. Because the only way that people will at all be able to gain any control over their senses whatsoever is if they have some experience of Krishna consciousness. All these things are caused by these decay of human qualities. But it says that if one who takes shelter of Lord Chaitanya's movement, who takes shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, becomes unaffected by Kali Yuga. So you'll see that actually what will happen is that things will get worse on one side and things will get better on another side. Simultaneously, they're getting worse and worse and worse on one side, another side better, 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 more pure. So there'd be a kind of polarization. If we're all effective in Krishna consciousness, it'll be this split, very strong split, between people who are under the control of Kali. In other words, there'll be no neutral ground. Everybody will have to choose. You can either be a demon or a devotee. You can't be half and half. You can't be sort of one and sort of the other. This is called polarization. That will be the effect of Lord Chaitanya's movement. Because not everybody will become devotees. they're taking birth in Kali Yuga for a reason. Although many will be, you'll see there'll be some holdouts. As we see. So that will be interesting to see how that will be resolved. Anyway, this is the prediction. Thus the government can become thieves. Well, actually, everyone gets harassed like this. One symptom is, by the way, is that the government itself can't protect the citizens. It's thought to be, you know, the business of the government is to protect citizens. Prabhupada said that when you have a good king, if somebody, and he said in India, you know, just 50 years ago, this would happen if you're traveling on the road and you lose your money, you drop your wallet, and you travel a day, then you notice, and you travel back, it'll still be sitting where you left it. Just because it's laying on the road, people won't pick it up and take it. Oh, it's mine. So when the government is strong, actually there won't be this harassment of everybody by thieves. The government is weak, there's so many thieves, then you can't carry on your life. Everyone has to become an armed man. In our Detroit temple, it's so bad, you know, we have to have armed guards. Otherwise, everybody's coming in, stealing. There's a temple there, and there's a community of devotees. But the police, you know, they won't come unless there's already a bleeding body. Then they're not, you know, they're only interested and up to that point. So you have to you have to do it yourself. You know, once there's some people fairly nearby the temple, not in the immediate vicinity. I mean, right in the immediate vicinity, it's not so bad, but just a couple blocks away, there was a woman devotee who was moving out of her apartment, and across the street there were some thieves. And they were stealing everything. She'd take something down and they'd steal it, you know? And finally, you know, then somebody was watching, you know, and then they came and beat that person up and took some more stuff. So finally a devotee had to stand in the middle of the street with a shotgun until she could move. That's the only thing they kept on. They called the police, you know, the police weren't interested in coming. Stand there with a shotgun. This is in the middle of, you know, the sixth biggest city or something in the United States. Stand there with a shotgun. These people would amazing. Yeah, that's what happens because the police are not interested. There's so much corruption. Because it's so, when you see crime is flourishing everywhere, especially organized crime, it can't go on unless it has the cooperation of the government. You know, the government's getting paid. And then they let it go by. Without that cooperation, it wouldn't happen. So then everybody's life becomes hellish because the criminals control the streets. Actually, you should be able to walk. The fact that you can't walk down a street without feeling safe it just shows that government's completely useless. Completely, but it's failed in a major task. Simplest thing. Yeah. We're all going to have to build houses like fortresses, you know. You know, just big. You see them now, new houses in center cities, you know. Big walls on the outside, high windows up there, little narrow entrance with an arrow gate, you know, and if there's all that big, everything looks out on a courtyard, you know, on the inside. Inside there are big picture windows, everything, you know, little courtyard. But outside it's just like wall, you know, a little gate, iron gate. You're going to hold off a siege. That's the way you have to build. Okay, any comments or questions? Manasa Ganga. Yeah. Well, you cannot be affected by Kali Yuga, but at the same time, it's problematical. You know, it's a fact that you won't be affected if you become a devotee. But that doesn't mean your life is going to be easy. It could be harder. It could be harder. You understand? I mean, if you're a strong devotee, you won't be affected by any kinds of hellish conditions. So you may be a strong devotee, but you also have to put up with totally hellish conditions. That's the problem. Anyway, it's not a good idea to put anything off, like becoming Krishna conscious, you know. You shouldn't seize the opportunity at hand. Not say, well, it's okay, I'll come. Well, you will. You come back as a devotee. You may go to a higher planet. All kinds of things will happen. But as long as you're in the material world, you know, you're in a tough scene. It's a good idea to get out right away. And then after 10,000 years, you know, it's going to be really rough. Then there won't be any devotees. Prabhupada said, at that time, oh my, devotees will have gone back home, back to Godhead. So, but it could be quite, you know, just like maybe the devotees in the Soviet Union are strong devotees, and they're not really affected by Kali Yuga. Still, they had to stay in prison camps and so many things like that. So that you may have to happen. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You see, there'll be just a kind of economic collapse. You know, people will not. You know, you'll get to the point where you can't have money anymore. Everything will be done on the basis of trade. Yeah, I mean, you have to live in a situation like the devotees in the Brazil. You know, they tell me about what it's like down there. You know, you know, as soon as anybody makes some money, they instantly convert it into dollars. One devotee told me he had collected some money, and he couldn't get to the bank that day, and he went to the bank the next day, and it cost him $100 because the exchange rate had changed so much, like in one day, you know. And so at times, especially in war, when countries are having a hard time, in war, then they print up more and more and more money. And it becomes just useless. And then it's just everything is on the basis of what you can trade, you know. See, in Brazil, they have dollars. Like if you're in Brazil now, if you're paying rent, it will be specified your rent will be in dollars. So that in the local currency, I don't know what it's called, crusados or something, I forgot, but, huh? Crusados, yeah. Every month you have to pay, you know, 2-3 times as much in crusados, you know, to keep up with inflation, you know. So you can start out the month rich and end up poor without doing anything. So that life becomes very difficult under those circumstances. And then, you know, the money becomes useless. Then it's simply based on trade, like that. I'm sorry? In government, yeah. Devotees will take government posts. Yeah, Prabhupada saw that. Then everything will... Yeah, if you're going to have a golden age of Krishna consciousness, at least some governments have to be Krishna conscious, because you won't be able to establish Krishna consciousness anywhere without the government being sympathetic and enforcing things like that. Prabhupada said, it doesn't have to be, it shouldn't be sectarian. It shouldn't be that it's you know, our religion, but the general principles of religion that should be enforced by the government. Yes? Yeah, I know. Yeah.